That is lovely. Thank you so much. Oh my. New month.
Yay.
We're in March. New month, new theme, rooted in truth. Rooted in truth. And isn't that kind of like all of us? I mean, really, that's really what we are. We're all rooted in truth. I'm thinking, you know, that's life. That's life. Truth is the foundation of all life. Those qualities of God that are truth, that are just all around us and in us and as us. And so this month, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about truth because that's what we're rooted in. So we're talking about the power. We're talking about the presence. We're talking about the journey, our lives, as an expression of truth, because that is really who we are. So today's talk is the power. Power is a quality of God, right? It's like one of, no, it's not up there. We have a banner that has all the qualities. It's not up there yet. Springtime, it'll come back. But power is a quality of God, and we see power all around, don't we? We see power all around in the natural world. Yes, the power of the wind to whip up the sea or to drive sailboats, the power of water to create, you know, chasms like the Grand Canyon or produce hydroelectricity, natural power. We see natural power in the environment all around us. And spiritual power is a quality of God. It's the power we use. We don't have it. We don't make it. We don't obtain it. We use it. We align with it. We allow it to flow through us to change conditions around us. And many times when we see people demonstrating power in the world, it's not really spiritual power. It's really being in charge, isn't it? It's the power over things. It's the power to make people do what you want them to do. It's manipulation. True spiritual power is rooted in truth, not conditions. Okay? As you can see the difference. You know, like those high school students in Parkland, they have been described as speaking truth to power, right? Love that expression. Now, what they're really doing is they're speaking their truth to people in charge. Not actually to spiritual power. They're speaking truth to pseudo power, right? To those people who are temporarily in charge. The term speaking truth to power comes from a book of the same name, Speak Truth to Power, A Quaker Search for an Alternative to Violence, which was published in 1955 by the Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers. And the book was about, because it was 1955 and it was in the Cold War and it was about the hydrogen bomb and the atomic bomb or whatever, it was about finding an alternative to violence in the atomic age. And the phrase, speak truth to power, was coined by Bayard Rustin, who co-authored the book, except you will never know that. Because all reference to his association with co-authoring that book was redacted in the 1950s when Rustin Bayard was arrested for homosexual activity. Yeah, interesting times, the 50s, weren't they? Yeah, the good old days nobody wants to go back to. Bayard Rustin was an African-American civil rights organizer and activist who was an advisor to Martin Luther King Jr. And although Rustin gave credit for the phrase, speak truth to power, to an ACLU president by the name of Patrick Malin, that was never confirmed. And in no speech Malin ever gave was that phrase ever used. So it basically all goes back to Rustin. He coined that phrase. He used it first, speak truth to power. And by the way, 2013, President Obama posthumously awarded the Medal of Freedom to Bayard Rustin. Yeah. So let's talk about that, speaking truth to power. We all do it. We all do it every time we stand in our truth and our conviction and speak our word, right? Even if our knees are shaking. Every time we stand in the truth, we are speaking truth to power. We all do it. Every time we stand for those qualities of God, and abundance and balance and beauty and peace, every time we advance peace in the world, every time we advance love, joy, wisdom, Every time we advance those qualities of spirit on earth, we are speaking truth. And sometimes we do have to speak truth to power. The powers that be, not necessarily spiritual truth of power, but the temporary power of those people who are in charge. Recently, I ran across a really old photograph. Can I get it up there? Yeah. Guess which one is your minister? The one with the African-American baby doll. Speaking truth to power. Disturbing the status quo since 1962. Are you sure you wouldn't rather hold another nice little baby doll, one that looks like you, Patricia? No, thank you, Mrs. Johnson. I'm quite fond of the baby doll I'm holding right now. Thank you much anyway. Speaking truth to power. At least the power that was in the charge at the moment. This was, after all, 62. Yeah, I'm that old. So most of the time when we're speaking truth, we are speaking truth to conditions, right? We're speaking truth to conditions because those people change all the time. Those people who are in power are not going to be in power. It changes like that. Most of the time we are only speaking truth to conditions, not to true spiritual power. It's like those two friends at meetup, right? And the one friend asks the other one, "Hey, how you doing?" And the other guy goes, "Hey, don't ask." Right? And he proceeds with a litany of all of his ails and ailments and ills and this hurts and that hurts and blah, 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 you know, all these bad stuff. And he goes, but overall, not too bad under the conditions. And this friend says, "Well, that's your challenge, my friend. We exist over the conditions, not under them. We exist over the conditions." Ernest Holmes said this in this article in 1944. He said, "Troward tells us that we enter the absolute in such a degree that we withdraw from contemplation of the relative." Those are the conditions, right? He goes on to say, "This is rather an abstract statement, but it's easily simplified. He tells us that if in our treatment we limit the possibility of its answer to any circumstance, past, present, or future, we are making a restricted use of the law. But if we turn resolutely from all appearances and contemplate the spirit as first cause, then we are furnishing a new creative center around which the law will operate with mathematical certainty." That's an absolute statement. I mean, that's the same statement kind of that Joel Goldsmith says, isn't it? Go to God. Go to God. Turn away from the conditions. Our challenge all along is that when we do finally speak truth to power, we're speaking truth to conditions, to the temporary effects, not to the power, not to spiritual power as it exists. And spiritual power really is the only power that does exist. Everything else is just the conditions. We are under no authority but God's. We are bound by no effects except the ones that we believe bind us. And when we do affirmative prayer, many, many times we are praying to trade one condition for another condition. We're not praying first cause. We're not praying in volition. We're praying in the effect. It's like, I have this thing. I have this condition, I have this job, I have this relationship, whatever. And what do we pray for? We pray for another condition or another job or another relationship or something else. So we're just that, you know, that lateral swap. That lateral swap. We're just swapping one condition for another condition. This is the deck chair conversation, right? We always talk about when we're swapping conditions, we're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. You've heard that, right? Still going down. Ernest Holmes says, "True prayer senses a partnership with the infinite and is not afraid consciously to unite itself with the divine." That's what we're doing. We turn away from the conditions. This is where true spiritual power lies. We turn away from the conditions. It is a relationship with the divine. It is standing in our truth, allowing the spiritual power to flow through us, changing conditions around us by our welcoming it in and allowing it to flow. But in order to do that, in order to allow that spiritual power to flow through us, we must free it to do its work. We must free it to do its work through us. When we're trying to swap conditions, this for that, we're holding the reins tight on God. You know, we have to take the reins off God. We have to allow it to run wild and free through our lives. And trust that the highest and best is being done. We hold tight to, I want this condition instead of that condition. We've got this whole entire universe, and we're narrowing it down to this teeny tiny little slice of pie that only we can have, because that's all we can see. And in 1944, Ernest Holmes wrote, "Why Are We Limited?" It's an article, it's great, anyway. And it says, the essence of effective treatment is realization, authority, expectancy, acceptance, and complete conviction that we're dealing with a power to which all things are possible. Surely we are dealing with the greatest principle in nature, and I expect none of us is getting much good from it. I loved his sense of humor. Therein lies the challenge, right? We're dealing with the greatest power, this power that set the planets in its orbits, that has created the universe, that is continuing to create the universe, is expanding, yes? And so it's continuing to create. It inhabits form and abandons form all the time. And we're taking this limitless power and we're going, just this much. That's all I want. Just this. Let me just trade this for that. Again, it's like the guy complaining about his ailments and his ills, you know? We, too, are suffering under the conditions when we should be above them. Remember the teaching symbol. The conditions are just the outpicturing of a consciousness that created them. The consciousness is the outpicturing of the mental acceptance, our belief, what we think, what we believe to be true about ourselves and our lives. Our thoughts go into a receptive medium, that universal subjective medium. Do I have the teaching symbol up there? No, never mind. You know what it looks like. So our thoughts go into that universal receptive medium. It is subject to our thoughts. That's the whole idea. That's why Ernest Holmes called it the universal subjective medium. It is subject to. It is subject to our thoughts. Beliefs are feelings. And then the subjective mind outpictures in form. That's the bottom part of the triangle, right? The bottom part of the teaching symbol. And then it outpictures in form, the bottom. Universal mind exists at the top. This is what we think with and through and as. That universal mind, our mind is a point in universal mind. And the bottom of the teaching symbol is where it all comes out. But everything begins in mind. Everything begins in mind. And our mind is a part of that. And when we stand in our truth, when we are really rooted in our truth, we are standing in that authentic power. We're standing in that spiritual power. And this is not ego power. I'm not talking about the power to manipulate people or get people to do what you want or coerce for personal gain. It's not about that. We stand in our true authentic power. We know the truth for all. Not only for us, we know the truth for all. We know that power is a quality of God for all of us, not just some of us. We know that love is a quality of God for all of us, not just for some of us. This is not ego power. This is authentic power. This is the power which knows no opposite. This is spiritual power. This is why we don't stand in opposition to things, right? In Ernest Holmes, in that beautiful talk he gave, the Sermon by the Sea, he said, show me a group of people that are for something and against nothing, and I'll show you the next, Messiah. That's who we are. We are the people that are for something and against nothing. We don't stand in opposition to hate. We stand for love. We don't stand in protest against violence. We stand for peace. We don't fight against the ugliness of life. We stand for beauty. Going back to those kids in Parkland, Florida, isn't that what they're doing, right? They're standing in their truth. They are speaking truth to power, well, pseudo power, people that are temporarily in charge, you know how that goes. They are speaking truth. They are standing for something and against nothing. They're standing for safety. They're standing for human rights. They're standing for nonviolence. And you know, I think our God is big enough to manifest that possibility, don't you? Don't you really think that there is an answer in there that is wanting itself to be birthed through this situation? Between the extremes on both sides, I think there is something else that's wanting itself to be known. I know that God knows a way and a solution because peace is a quality of God. So I know it is right there, and I know it must find an outlet in this condition. It must. Tomorrow is March 5th, and it is the 17th anniversary of the Santana High School shooting. And you heard Billy pray so beautifully about it. Thank you so much. And I'll be there, like I have been every single year since it happened, placing flowers and saying prayers. I think 17 years is long enough. Columbine happened in 99. I think 18, 19 years is enough. I think we have to find a better way, a different way. I think something is wanting to be birthed through us. And I think knowing Spirit provides for all of its creations, and we are that. I think that that new thing can be birthed through us, but we have to provide the consciousness. Ernest Holmes said, "You are using a power which is, and you have every right to use it. And it will reach up, right up to your ability to use it. It is limited by our mental concept. While it is the power that makes the planet and everything on it, it makes you and it makes me. When it comes to working in our lives individually, over conditions and over our bodies, it can only flow through our consciousness, no other way. And what we want to do is to provide a great, big consciousness within." And so that is your charge. That is your charge, to know that it's not an either-or situation, nothing in life is. To know that Spirit has a greater idea, even if we can't figure out what it is. And to provide the container, to provide a big enough container, our consciousness, so that that something new can be birthed through us into the world, into a new world, because that's what we're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Reverend Patty. The song I wrote for a film